Exit strategies starts with a question. How much money would you need never to have to work again? Or put another way, is it possible to escape your own life? Our hero, Vic, knows the exact figure he needs, just a little under £1.6 million. He's calculated it down to the last penny on a spreadsheet. Incomings and outgoings for the rest of his life. And he has a share dealing scam that will give him all that money in one hit. All the details of his scam are real, based on my own years working in the city, and the financial meltdown forms a backdrop to his story. A gambler by nature, he views this as a simple risk-reward scenario, where the reward is a life free from the drudgery of work, and the risk is negligible, as he has nothing much to lose. But ultimately, the question is, do we want him to succeed? And can money really save your life? Exit strategies. Chapter 1. The early morning call meant a prime corpse to negotiate. Vic sat on the Jubilee line passing through Bermondsey. With his tongue, he worked on a crumb lodged in a molar. The woman opposite looked up and wondered at the strange face he was pulling. Vic glanced at the newspaper on her lap, a London free sheet. No headline for the West Brom game. No joy there. He returned to his crumb. You'd always get a seat at this hour. Some comfort at least to compensate for the early start. To Vic's right, a swollen, sweaty woman revealed a pastry from a greasy paper bag. The processed meat smell hit Vic's delicate stomach like a taste of the night before. Not this morning, please. Don't spill your pastry flakes on me. He picked up an abandoned copy of the Mirror to provide a barrier against the debris. Flicking through the pages, he read about a singer, originally from Manchester but now based in LA, who had agreed to perform for a wealthy St. Louis property tycoon at his son's bar mitzvah. Agreed for a fee of a cool $1 million. $1 million for a night's work. The line the report took, how proud we should be, one of our own transforming herself into a global star capable of pulling down such a fee. When only 3 years ago she was doing extra shifts at the laundrette to pay her way through music school. There's a lesson for the rest of us. $1 million for a night's work. Not even a full set list, just to run through her 5 or 6 hits to date. Maybe an embarrassing smacker to plant on the cheek of the boy coming into manhood. Another for the father who made this happen. A photo op for the man with the checkbook. And there's a revenue equal to that of her first album, a sum you could retire on, won through a rich man's folly. You could swallow a servant girl's shame, surely, for one night only. The woman opposite stared at Vic again. What is it? Something hanging from my nose? He addressed in a hurry, so anything was possible. He lifted his glasses to rub his eyes. A glasses day today. No time to insert the contacts. In this state, he'd probably have poked his eye out. Vic was thinking of $1 million for a night's work and of Hendrik at the obits desk, no doubt waiting there already. Waiting to carve the cadaver, plotting a line from pelvis to sternum. Coming from Earlsfield, Vic would always arrive last to the summons. He took an overland train to Waterloo, swapping to the tube there. Whenever the call came, a worthy case, Vic would hit the table late, picking up the scraps. He realised he was yawning and covered his mouth. Vic scanned the rest of the paper for news of the West Brom game. The scoreline, 3-1 to the Baggies. But what else? The minutes of the goals, the red and yellow cards, likewise of no concern to him today. So what was he expecting? That they'd print the number of corners in the match report? He'd have to wait to find out. Stepping onto the platform, a man shambled towards Vic and asked him for the price of a cup of tea. The guards normally caught them before they got this far past the ticket gates. Vic dug around last night's receipts in his pocket, conscious of the obstruction he was causing, and pulled out 20 pence. That would do. The man took the money without a word and moved on to the next passenger coming off the train. Vic watched him at work while he rose to the station concourse, heading towards the light, the wide bank of escalators that would bring Vic out at Canary Wharf. This dog's breakfast of a life. There's a tale here somewhere. Bruce Hendrick propped himself on the edge of Jason's regulation office desk, his full backside straining the fiberboard. Jason himself sat back to watch the self-professed master at work. This could be the last time. He spotted Vic stepping out of the lift, breathing heavily, and nodded gently. Jason chuckled, knowing he'd soon be shot of all this. Hendrick followed Jason's gaze. "Afternoon, Victor. We had to start without you." Hendrick pulled his tie straight and refused to acknowledge Vic's plaintive stare. The newsroom was still more than three quarters empty. A few political correspondents Vic knew reasonably well were holding an impromptu meeting around a desk on the far side of the hall, drinking from large paper cups. Beneath a wall of screens carrying news feeds from every corner of the globe, they formed a more dynamic mirror to the meeting Hendrick had called to discuss Lloyd Parks. "We wouldn't usually hold any truck with suicides, or lottery winners for that matter. Our staple diet is achievement, the merit of lofty ambition fulfilled. Such is the narrative of a notable person's life. In youth, a vision formed, becoming reality in age, with a procession of obstacles overcome along the way. And yet, in this sad case, this man to all degrees hopeless." "Do we know that now?" Vic asked, sitting at his desk and turning over a notepad. "He definitely offed himself. His people have put it out as an accidental overdose." Hendrick smiled, flashing sharp, irregular teeth. "You can make of that what you will." Jason shot Vic two thumbs up behind the boss's back. Vic had told him of the coroner's coup last night, before they had stuck into the cocktails in earnest, and Jason had lumped on, minutes before kickoff. He'd said it could provide a handy going-away kitty. But what did two thumbs mean? A good result, for sure, but just how high had the bet settled? Vic asked Jason with his eyebrows. "We're not often given to writing parables, yet here we must. The story, not the story of this man, not this one feeble lost soul, but rather a cautionary tale that embraces us all." Hendrick checked himself, looking down at Jason. "That is, all of them, eh, Mr. Condor? The captivated masses, our dear readers, clutching their tickets and their paltry dreams to their empty chests?" Jason cupped his jaw, showing Vic two fingers and then five. "Shit, 25 corners in one game? Can't be." Jason confirmed with a small nod and grinned, rubbing his fingers together. Vic returned to the land of the living. Having bought at 10, a make-up of 15 to a 100 quid unit stake, that's a grand and a half waiting in Vic's account. Maggie will prepare the copy for tomorrow's printed edition. With the convenient time of death, we've got a fair run at it, so I'm expecting a decent job. Jason, well, it's too late in your tenure as shuffle monkey for you to contribute anything worthwhile. Sort your desk out. Vic will do the legwork. Prove to me that one shuffle monkey can do the work of two. Bring me something by 3. Hendrick rose and strode back to his office in the corner behind their desks. Passing Vic, he said, "You've been sleeping with the derelicts again? I should give you a raise." As he disappeared through his doorway, he added, "Either that or the boot." Maggie, the senior obituary writer, called to Vic without turning from her monitor. I'm going to need cuttings on Lloyd Parks from the lottery win, the album release, anything about the record label, anything else of interest you can find. Vic knew what was coming next, what always came next. If it wasn't to be Jason, then it had to be Vic. And I'm going to need you to visit the widow.
Exit Strategies is currently available in a limited edition paperback from www.matthewturner.info. Please visit the website for more information and further free material.